Listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Reading once more from God's holy word, as we find it in Revelation chapter 2, verse 18. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach, and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. All the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star, and he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let's give thanks for these words. They're all part of God's holy word, the Scriptures. The Scriptures that will never be taken away. As Christ said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And these are his words to this church in particular, and to all of us as well. Our Father, we give thanks for these words. We give thanks for all of thy word. We give thanks particularly for the gospel. We give thanks also for the message that prepares us for the gospel, the call to repentance, even the command to repent. As thou dost tell us by the mouth of Paul and the pen of Luke, that thou dost command all men everywhere to repent. And we pray, Father, that that might take place much more than it is in our present time, that there might be reviving in the church, there might be awakening in the world, that there might be that blessing, both to Jew and to Gentile, in the church and in the world, everywhere, in our homes, and that it might affect every part of our life, that it might be thy kingdom coming, thy will be done, being done on earth as it is in heaven. And we pray, Father, that thy name might be hallowed and might be once again recognized, and that thou wilt be seen as the creator of the world. Thou wilt be seen particularly through thy Son. We pray, Father, in his name that thou wilt, because of him, send thy Spirit now to lead us in this word, to lead us in thought, in word, and then as well in deed. Giving the word, hearing the word, doing the word, all through Christ. We pray also, Father, for the temporal needs. We give thanks for the blessings that we have in nature. We give thanks that we have abundance in this area of blessing, food and shelter, home. We pray for those that do not have these blessings as we do, that are starving, that are homeless, that are suffering the awfulness of the ravages of war. We give thanks for the peace that is ours and pray for that which others do not have. And we pray especially, Father, that the lie that brings the war might be recognized, and that peace might come through the gospel of Christ, that what thou hast spoken by the mouth of the angel at thy birth, Lord Jesus, may be fulfilled in our time. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. We pray for it in our homes. We pray for it for every nation. We pray for it for every way needed in all circumstance. The strife that we see in different areas of society, in different classes, between, sadly, those that are in authority and those that need to obey authority. We see it more and more rising in our nation, the pride, the rebellion, the unbelief. And we pray, Father, that it might come in our homes, in our churches, and in the nation. We pray for those who need the healing hand of the body, that are in sickness and injury. We pray for the needs of the broken homes and the children in those homes. Pray for needs in the workplace and the schools, that the schools again will teach the truth and not the lie, all through Christ. Amen. As we continue in this letter to the church at Thyatira, first, the Lord Jesus speaking of himself, who he was, and we spent much time on that, and that must be believed. As I've said before, there are religions that call themselves much alike, but are not alike, particularly in this one blessed and needed truth. The Son of God. Only Christianity recognizes that God's Son was born 2,000 years ago, lived, died, rose again, went back to heaven, and is coming again on the clouds of glory. That must be believed, both who He is and what He has done. And if we don't believe that, the rest is may give some temporal blessings to believe it when we read about His warning against works and the different kind of works spoken of here, even the blessing of describing them, service, faith, patience, and thy works, the last to be more than the first. There have been good people that have not believed themselves to be sinners, have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and have done good deeds toward their neighbors, but yet it all comes short, particularly of glorifying God. The first and great commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. And that cannot and will not be done except it be done through Christ. And our first knowledge will be that we didn't do it and need to be forgiven. Justification. And only then can sanctification, or a working out of the salvation in thankfulness for that mercy, for that grace, be done. And this was being done somewhat in this church. The Lord Jesus, I know thy works and charity and service, charity or love, as we call it, and faith and patience and thy works. It was being done. It was a true church. It was a living church. But after the Lord Jesus speaking these things to them, He has to say, and we began on that somewhat last week, but very little, the 20th verse, notwithstanding, in spite of these good things, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. This was taking place, and they were allowing it. He said, thou sufferest that woman. You allow it to go on. She calleth herself a prophetess. She is teaching. We read in Paul's letter to the church at Corinth that God doesn't suffer a woman to speak in the church. Paul's letter to Timothy states that a woman shall not teach or usurp authority over the man. And we have that. But we do have the exceptions of those that are prophetesses. We have that in Paul's return to Jerusalem after he had gone on his missionary journeys. And when he came back, he came unto Caesarea. We read in Acts chapter 21, he entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. So there were those who did prophesy. And these were the daughters of Philip the evangelist. We might believe that they were true in their prophecy and that God had called them and led them. But here's one that describes herself as a prophetess, but is a wicked one, named Jezebel. Has the same name as the wicked Jezebel, who was Ahab's wife. Ahab, king of Israel. Ahab, one of the most wicked kings, and Jezebel, his wife, was one that made him one of the most wicked kings, serving Baal in a terrible way. And she was judged and killed for her wickedness. You can read that in the Old Testament, in the history of Israel. And here is a woman that calls herself a prophetess, and they allow her to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, not only to teach and give teaching, but these wicked acts of fornication, this immorality, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Here we read the word fornication, which is considered the sin outside of marriage. We think of it before marriage. We think of it more with younger people or those that are not married. We also read that she was guilty of adultery. In the 22nd verse, "Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds." So there probably was both. There was probably her teaching, both those that weren't married and possibly those as well that were married, or them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation. Some want to say that the two words mean the same thing, but often we know they are given both in one scripture, describing evidently two different acts of immorality before marriage or after marriage and in marriage. So here we have her first described as teaching and seducing, and to eat sacrificed things as sacrificed unto idols. Often this way of sacrificing to idols and fornication was together. It still is together in some heathen religions. It was there with the Mennonites and the Moabites, women that seduced and tempted the people in the time of Moses, shortly before they went into Canaan and brought God's wrath down upon Israel, and many died because of it. Balaam, the son of Balak, tempted them, and we see in another church that we considered earlier, Pergamos, a little bit earlier in the second chapter, he writes to them, the 14th verse, "But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. And then with it, so thou hast them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which things I hate." And that, some would say, is what she was teaching as well, calling it a filthy way and the way of the Nicolaitans. That was mentioned earlier as well to the church at Ephesus, not that they were guilty of it, but evidently it was in their area of Ephesus, and the Lord Jesus wrote to the church at Ephesus stating, "But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate." And here we see God's hatred of it in this church at Thyatira. He said, "I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not." There must have been a warning. There was a time of mercy, and now God speaks of judgment that will come. In the 22nd verse, "Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds." Once more, he is still calling them to repentance, saying he will give judgment if they don't repent. So the call to repentance continues, and it is there today in the church as well as in the world. We need it in the church. There is, sadly, fornication, adultery in the church, not only in the way here of probably the actual deed, but in our time we have especially the temptations that call for the eye, the ways of pornography, the ways that formerly were probably in print more, now they are on internet and television, and the many different ways in which these things can be seen. And as the Lord Jesus said, that he that lusteth after a woman with his eye hath already committed adultery with her in his heart. So we have much of that. Many are found to be in the bondage of the internet. Starting with it, you cannot stop. And they describe it how it takes place. And some are found out, probably some are not. But it is all one and the same. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, and the deed as well, all in the heart. And the Lord Jesus says, we are guilty in the heart if we lust after her with the eye. But here, it was actual deeds, and Christ said he was going to cast them into a bed, and there would be great tribulation. It wasn't the bed of their sin, but evidently a bed of their judgment that God would bring upon them. And great tribulation is how it's described. There have been through the years much of the suffering of the church, and many times we call it persecution. And it can be that. And many times we may be sure it is that. But it can also be a judgment on the church. That God who knows the heart, God who searches the reins, God who said through the mouth of Christ here to this church, going back to the very beginning of the letter, "Thus saith the Son of God, who hath eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass. I know thy works." He could see all things. He has those eyes that know both our deeds and even knows our heart and knows the thoughts and intents of it. The Word searches that out, but especially the Lord Jesus himself. And here he says what he will do, except there is repentance. And we are in that state, I'm afraid, today, that if there is not repentance, there will be judgment. There are many sins beside this. We have one of the terrible sins that fornication and adultery probably lead to, and that is the sin of abortion. Because there is fornication, there's pregnancy, and unwanted babies, and brings murder, death. If you are in that, guilty of fornication, in the situation of pregnancy, don't go the step further to murder. Rather, repent and ask for forgiveness. Ask for wisdom. There are those who will help. There are those who want children. There are those who will help mothers that have no place for children. And thankfully, there are coming more and more of those. Many other ways as well that bring about the death of the unborn, the murder, the terribleness of it, the married ones that do not want children, and all of this is taking place in a terrible, terrible way by the thousands and the millions. There's other ways of death, murder, but sometimes we have things that are 100 times worse, and yet we hardly talk about it. When there's 30 children killed, it's a terrible, terrible thing. Thankfully, the parents forgave, and were different than many others when children are killed, and sometimes killed by the authorities in office, and the rising up, the wickedness, the rebellion by parents that should have had their children more in obedience, and then blame the authorities. But here, when these 30 children were killed in the school a few years ago, these parents showed a Christian forbearance and patience. And when we have, as I said, 100 times that many every day by abortion, 3,000, nary a word, never in the news. Our president doesn't shed tears over it. It's wickedness, it's hardness, pride along with it, that many want to say, we want to keep this. We want to keep the permission to do wrong, to do one of the worst deeds I think that we can possibly do. No comparison with a terrorist. It's worse. And much of it because of fornication, because of it, what we call new morality, and taught the lightness of it, sadly in the schools and everywhere. And so much, as I said, the temptation of the eye on television, internet, all over, things that we need to avoid, things that we need to turn away from and not allow in this sad spirit of Jezebel here, who taught to seduce the servants of God. And when the servants, we may believe it spread as well through the others and the families in the church, children, young people, not only servants or even the leaders, the pastors. If we think of this seriously, calleth herself a prophetess to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. All of this is being done in every sphere of life, every sphere of the church, sadly. And here, God gives it for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and thankfully, for instruction in righteousness. There is a way of righteousness. Thankfully, as I mentioned before, forgiveness, justification. Yes, for this sin of fornication, adultery, and the sin of those who have entered into that and ended up with being murderers, there still can be forgiveness. There can be the confession. There can be the repentance. Rather than so many that continue in it and are guilty more than one time. All of this is taking place, and all of this is under the eye of him who has the eyes as a flame of fire. And the one that said, I will give great tribulation. Some churches are experiencing terrible tribulation. We may not know why. Some of it may be persecution. Some of it may be God's judgment on an unfaithful church. And it certainly could come to our nation. Thankfully, it is not here as in many other nations that are suffering terribly. And churches are being just wiped out. Children, people driven from their homes. And less in many countries. Is it God's judgment on the church? It can be. And let's pray both for those that are under judgment that need repentance and those that are true and are being persecuted because of it. He speaks here very plainly, and then he speaks also and says, I say to the rest that are in Thyatira, as many as have not known this doctrine and have known the depths of Satan, and I will put upon you none other burden. But this one must be recognized and repented of, and then flee to Christ.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.